For thousands of years, one of Earth's most common creatures has defied explanation. The European eel begins life as a transparent wisp in the Sargasso Sea, drifts across the Atlantic for 3 years, transforms into a yellow eel that lives in freshwater for decades, then morphs one final time into a silver torpedo that swims thousands of miles back to breed and die. This journey stumped Aristotle, the man who cataloged the natural world, so thoroughly that he claimed eels simply sprang from mud. No eggs, no mating, just spontaneous generation from lifeless matter. Throughout history, theories multiplied. Eels rubbed against rocks to reproduce, secreted life-giving fluid into sediment, emerged from decomposing vegetation, or horsehairs fallen into streams. Even when Francesco Redi proved in 1668 that all life stems from eggs, eels remained the exception that refused to fit. A young Sigmund Freud spent a miserable month in Trieste dissecting over 400 eels, searching desperately for male reproductive organs. He found nothing. 20 years later, scientists finally discovered that eels don't develop visible sex organs until the moment they need them, transforming themselves existentially when the time arrives. The eel forces us to choose what to believe when empirical evidence vanishes into mystery. Picture a 7-year-old boy and his father driving at dusk to a stream, both wearing wellies and vinyl waders. They set spillers along the bank, carefully baiting each hook with worms, even pretending to spit on the bait for luck. After darkness falls, they return before dawn to check their catch. Sometimes there's that distinctive undulating resistance, an eel wrapping around a small arm with surprising strength, its yellowish-brown body shining in early morning light. These weren't just fishing trips. The father, a road paver who rose before 6 each morning, was passing down something deeper. Down by that stream, in what he called eel darkness, the murkiest nights of July and August when eels are boldest, he taught that mysteries exist to be appreciated, not necessarily solved, that patience matters, that some of life's most profound moments happen in silence, waiting in darkness for something you can't see but somehow know is there. Johannes Schmidt was 27 when he boarded the steamship Thor in 1904, beginning what would consume the next 2 decades of his life. Science knew yellow eels transformed into silver eels and had identified willow leaf larvae as baby eels, but where did they breed? For 7 years, Schmidt trawled European waters from Iceland to Egypt, finding only large larvae. Realizing eels must reproduce far offshore, he enlisted Danish shipping companies to help. Between 1911 and 1914, 23 freighters dragged nets across the Atlantic. In summer 1913, Schmidt found increasingly numerous but smaller larvae moving westward, each transparent specimen meticulously measured and recorded. Just as Schmidt was closing in, the Margrethe sank and World War I erupted. Finally, in 1921, after collecting over 6,000 specimens, Schmidt identified the Sargasso Sea as the eel's breeding ground. Yet, here's the paradox. Though we now know where eels reproduce, we've never actually seen them do it. No human has witnessed eels mating or found a mature eel in the Sargasso Sea. We know where they go because of where their babies appear, but the act itself remains hidden. Sometimes they fished illegally on the stream's far side, where rights belonged to the town's fishing club. The flat meadows were easier to navigate than their steep banks, but crossing also felt just weekend fishermen in expensive gear targeted salmon while locals struggled. One summer, his father suggested rowing across to set spillers. Though the boy had never considered this transgression, it suddenly seemed rational. When a train thundered past, they extinguished their flashlight and threw themselves into the grass. The boy pressed against the ground, desperately trying to disappear, while his father, he now suspects, was probably just smiling. Years later, the boy learned his grandfather never fished. The stories he'd assumed were generational weren't inherited at all. They were being created in real time. His father's identity as a worker was predetermined. but the son's inheritance was different, an unspoken understanding that, while not all doors were open, he remained free to try. The eel fishing represented something his father chose, not something handed down. Identity isn't just what you inherit, it's also what you create, in the dark, waiting for something mysterious to bite. Along Sweden's eel coast, about 50 of the original 100 eel sheds remain. The brother shed, the king's shed, the smuggler shed. For centuries, eel fishing has defined this region's identity. The fishing rights, called aldrater, date back to at least 1511. When Sweden took control in 1658, the king redistributed these valuable rights to secure loyalty. The eel became literal currency. What drives someone to become an eel fisherman when populations are collapsing? Cultural heritage passed through generations. The specialized knowledge, crafting traps, flaying eels, reading the sea and weather, isn't learned in classrooms, but transmitted through practical experience across centuries. Unlike salmon, eels won't breed in captivity. In Spain's Basque country, glass eels are fished from the River Oria during winter nights. A small portion now costs $60 or $70. Around Ireland's Loch Ness, locals have fished for eels for 2,000 years. These communities argue that banning eel fishing will erase not just livelihoods, but cultural heritage and humanity's relationship with the eel itself. When the last eel fisherman hangs up his nets, something irreplaceable disappears, a way of understanding the world through patient observation of creatures that refuse to be fully known. The eel lives modestly, eating what's available and staying unnoticed. Unlike salmon that return home, each eel chooses its river randomly, making its journey existentially solitary. Descartes called animals mere automata, lacking souls. Darwin's theory eliminated the unchangeable soul, narrowing the human-animal gap. Modern science has reduced this difference further. Animals experience pain, fear, grief, even love. Yet philosopher Thomas Nagel argues we can never truly know what it's like to be another creature. Our human experiences limit our ability to comprehend consciousness shaped by entirely different sensory perceptions. What's it like to navigate by magnetic fields, to smell with a dog's sensitivity? A study in Ireland found silver eels ranging from 8 to 57 years old, all at the same developmental stage. For eels trapped from completing their journey, life becomes endless waiting. We share this planet with creatures whose inner lives remain fundamentally unknowable, a reminder that mystery enriches existence. The eel is dying at catastrophic speed. Glass eel arrivals in Europe have plummeted to just 5% of 1970s levels. Many researchers believe we're experiencing Earth's sixth mass extinction, happening at unprecedented speed, centuries rather than millions of years. The European eel is critically endangered, facing an extremely high risk of extinction in the wild. All known threats stem from human activity. Parasites attack their swim bladders, making migration impossible. Industrial toxins cause heart defects and impair their transition between fresh and saltwater. Dams and hydroelectric plants kill up to 70% of migrating eels. Climate change disrupts ocean currents, affecting both adult migration and larval return. The recommendation is clear: human impact on eels should be as close to zero as possible. Despite conservation efforts since 2007, recovery has stalled. The boy grew up and returned each summer to fish with his father, now using modern equipment. His father fell ill at 56, an aggressive tumor from years working with asphalt. The surgery gave him 4 more years. A week after the funeral, standing by the cabin lake with his fishing rod, the boy was called away briefly. Returning, he found his rod sliding toward the water. He grabbed it, feeling familiar resistance. The line stuck among rocks by the shoreline. As he struggled, finally sinking to his knees to peer into murky water, a large, pale gray eel with black button eyes slowly emerged from the shadows. It looked directly at him, as if ensuring he could see it. As he let go of the line, the hook came free and the eel turned back to hidden depths. We inherit mysteries we'll never solve, connections we can't explain, losses that reshape us. The eel survives by transforming itself completely, carrying an imprinted map through all its metamorphoses until it's time to return home. What maps do we carry? What transformations await us? Perhaps the greatest wisdom lies in protecting what we don't fully understand, not despite the mystery, but because of it.